CliffCentral.com.
Hello, good morning. It's a cold Monday. It's the last week of June. Last 2 days of June, effectively. Wednesday is the first of a new month. And I don't know if you've seen all those memes on online of like people standing far away from the door with July written on it. They're like poking it with a stick because they're worried about what's going to come through that door.
Oh, no.
Yes. Because, I mean, what a year it's been, right?
It feels like we've had 4 years in one.
Yeah, abso-bloody-lutely. So I just want to find you one other thing while we're talking about these memes, because I'm in this group with a bunch of my friends, and it changes its name all the time, so I can never find the group. And there was one, you know how, because we all change the name, and then the icon changes as well. And it's been changing so much that I can't even keep track anymore. But
I'm assuming it's something crude.
Usually it's something crude, yeah. Usually it's something quite vulgar and revolting. But there are a whole lot of things. Here we go, boars. Listen to this. This is a story that was on a site called allthatsinteresting.com, all right? Feral pigs eat and destroy $22,000 worth of cocaine hidden in an Italian forest. Now, who had coke boars down for June? That was June. Can you imagine what July has in store for us? The aliens are definitely coming.
Or just the pigs already know that this life thing is overrated.
They ate $22,000 worth of cocaine that had been hidden in the forest. Can you imagine for a little while, those boars were the most dangerous animals in Italy by a wide margin.
You do love it when animals attack.
I love when animals attack. Are you kidding? It's my favorite thing. Oh, so great.
Good for them.
Happy Monday.
Good for them. Good for those coke boars.
If that doesn't get you going in the morning as breakfast.
I know.
Once they turn into bacon.
Isn't it the greatest?
Nothing will. Awesome.
Oh,
it
man.
Is awesome.
So how was everybody's weekend? How was yours, Mbulelo?
Great.
What did you get up to?
Some exercise, some work.
Yeah?
Kept it real. Watched some sport.
Good man.
Back to normal.
Anything fun for you, Sia?
Wait, Mbulelo, just quickly. Are you the type of person who, over the past couple of weeks, you were re-watching old matches?
No.
Because I sort of saw that was a bit of a trend, and I couldn't understand why.
I would not be able to do that.
Up until my cousin, like, almost bit my head off going, you rewatch your favorite movies. I'm like, well, it's kind of, in my mind at least, it's not the same.
No, it's definitely the same. You know, in fact, rewatching movies has zero spontaneity. You know, every word is scripted. There is no moment of like, oh my God. Whereas in sport, it's like, oh, bullshit. I missed that tackle.
Oh, you're so full of shit. That's nonsense.
No.
I'll tell you why it's nonsense, because you already know the result of the sports match. What do you do? Pick up on like some sideline thing that happens, and you're like, oh, I didn't see that the last three times I watched that match, which was over in 2012.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
But also, if you aren't an athlete, I don't get how it would be cool to you. At least like with movies, you can recite your favorite lines.
Yeah.
Or you get into the emotional roller coaster. I guess one could argue there's an emotional roller coaster with sports, but look, I'll never get to the bottom of it just because I don't understand.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm with Sia. I mean, I can't watch an actual match while it's going on and be excited about it. So I'm afraid, Mbulelo, you're in a minority of one here. I know there are lots of people who agree with you, so.
I'm shattered. Yeah, I don't know what to say. You've broken my self-worth.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be fine. Yeah,
I'll be all right.
Yeah, well, actually, I should not be judging.
Why?
Considering thinking back to some of the things that I was doing over the weekend, included rewatching Whitney Houston's interview. Sorry.
Wow.
I shouldn't laugh.
When she was coked up?
Yes, with Diane Sawyer.
Oh,
and when she gave us that iconic line of crack is whack. And she was almost, not even almost, when she was insulted.
yeah,
that they think she would do, you know, cheap street drugs. Like, no. Show me the receipts. I'm Whitney. Whitney never does that.
Now, you see, that's entertaining. Now, that I can totally get behind. Man, that woman was a disaster.
She was good.
She was a disaster in the end.
Yes. Well, Bobby Brown.
Yeah, he...
Oh, like, Bobby!
He unwound her.
Oh, he ruined that poor woman.
He did. He very much did.
Yeah, I'm
no, all... I think they were both bad for each other.
See, I'm all for people taking personal responsibility, but Whitney was just a disaster waiting for someone like Bobby Brown to meet her. And as much as she's to blame, that guy was just bad news. You know how your parents tell you, that friend of yours, bad person, that's a bad person.
Mm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's what Whitney should have listened to her mother, Sissy, and her aunt, Dionne Warwick. And I'm sure they would have said to her, listen, honey, you don't need this man in your life. This is a bad man. But did she listen? Did she? Hell.
Picked up the pipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she picked up that crack pipe that he put down.
She did.
She picked up the pipe, the anything that she could get her hands on.
She never let it go, did she?
Poor Whitney.
No, but disaster. It almost is a bit of a rock star tale. I can't imagine a 65-year-old Whitney all wrinkled up and whatnot.
Yeah, this is what they say about a lot of those people who die young. And I mean, she had a longer period of time than like Amy Winehouse or any of those people.
Right, yeah. So they're like the what? The 27 or the 28 club?
27 club. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. She could have. She had a great voice. She should have lasted a bit longer, given us a few more songs.
I hear you, Houston. We had a problem.
Ah, Mbulelo.
Mbulelo, you were
cheesy.
Itching.
You're cheesy as hell this morning. Jesus,
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, why are you feeling so good?
I had a good workout this morning.
Okay,
you know. Got up early, good got man. Up at it.
Good.
And now I'm feeling good.
And then you also started the day by judging me off air.
Oh, what happened? Tell me about this. Everyone needs to be a part of this judgment.
So,
you know, I
go ahead, Sia. I want you to exercise your agency.
Great. I started the morning on a very delightful note. I log onto the call, smiling at Mbulelo. Yeah. Mbulelo says, I'm paraphrasing here, but this is how I heard it, which of course is the most important thing. It's not what he said. It's what I heard.
Yeah.
Said, you know, you look pretty decent this morning.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, actually, Mbulelo, it's because I actually have been up for a while. I woke up and I took quite a long bath. Okay. And he says, it's different. In a good way. It's different than, you know, you just slouching out here in your pajamas every day. And I feel like it was just burning.
You took massive offense, yeah.
It was clearly just sitting on the tip of his tongue, day in, day out. And he was just waiting for an opportunity like this to bring it up.
He was going
to
say something horrible to you.
Mm.
Oh, my God. I think you are being a bit sensitive.
I'd also like to be clear.
Yeah.
All I said was, hey, Sia, great shirt. Nice to kind of see you not wearing pajamas.
Yeah, but that is so—that's so passive aggressive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you come on.
It's a surprise to you, Bulem.
I've got to blow my nose. Hang on. This is embarrassing.
I am. I'm shocked and offended.
On what grounds exactly?
Well, I thought it was a compliment. You know, I didn't mean to degrade you as a human being, and everything that you are.
Calm down with the theatrics. A compliment would have just. And that says a lot coming from me. You really have to calm
that's
down.
That's the irony. The
a compliment would have just ended with great shirt, full stop.
Well, you've been coming to work in pajamas for the last 3 months. I just thought, you know.
By the way, they have not been pajamas. They've been my loungewear. There's a difference.
Oh, my God. Oh, by the way, if you're wondering where Leanne is, so are we. We don't have an answer for where she might be.
I don't know.
What? Did you call her?
I called her a couple of times. No, okay. Here's, if I really put my thoughts into a line. What frustrates me is when things are out of my control.
Yeah.
And as a person who is largely responsible for the show, it is frustrating when something's out of my control. Like, I literally, there's nothing that we can do except call her. I can't exactly rock up to her house when...
No, you can't. Yeah, look, I mean, she's... Leanne is mostly responsible, but occasionally that, you know, things slip and she... I mean, I've overslept for the show. We all do it at some point, you know. But she's something else, that woman. I mean, I do love her. She's great, but I'm glad she's not my responsibility.
It's always the talented ones.
It is, though. I mean, we were talking about Whitney, right? Mm. And obviously, none of us are on that level. But there's a little bit of that crazy and that chaotic that comes in when you're dealing with someone who's truly talented. And Whitney was absolutely, truly talented. I mean, there's just no doubt, right? This woman was just an extraordinary, extraordinary creature.
I echo that. She was off the charts.
You sort of have to take that for their greatness.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, you have to accept that that's part of the package with them. And they're not going to be one of those perfect... I mean, the person who came off worst out of that whole story is the daughter.
Well, who also subsequently
died. Yeah, I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, and remember there was also the Bobby Christina's boyfriend.
Yeah, he was also a disaster, wasn't he?
Yeah, who Whitney at a point had brought into the home first, and they grew up together, and then they started dating, which people were freaked out about, including me.
Mm-hmm.
He recently died as well.
Oh my God, what a mess of a family. A mess. Just a total, utter mess. Ay, ay, ay. All right. Well, we got lots to get into this morning. First thing.
How was your weekend, though, by the way?
I had a good weekend. It wasn't bad. I went and did some shopping, which is stupid on Saturday because it was the end of the month. And I try to avoid the shops on weekends, especially the end of the month weekend, because it's just chaos. I mean, like people, that's really the one outing people have now. At the moment, so everybody does it, and they do it in huge tribes, and people line up in the queues everywhere. And I mean, I should have known better. It was a dumb idea to go shopping, but I did, and I have taken to wearing a buff like you wear when you ski, Mbulelo. Mm-hmm. You know, you just kind of pull it over your nose, and it just
I'm wearing a buff right now.
Yeah, it feels much more comfortable than those stupid face masks. And there are different kinds of face masks. Some of them are horrible. I haven't tried a whole bunch, but I have tried like two or three, and the buff is the best thing. I mean, if you're going to have to wear something like that out in public, then let it be that. What I do like about it is it covers up most of my hideous face, so I don't have to be seen by the village people. You know, the people don't have to watch Quasimodo come down from the belfry.
I hear you.
Oh, it's cool, right? You cover up some of that ugly mug, and then they leave you alone. Don't insult me. Leave me alone.
Wow.
I am not an animal. You know what I mean?
I do.
It's the greatest.
I do know.
Do you feel like it works?
The mask?
Yeah, in terms of actually preventing or protecting yourself.
They've done the research, and it is probably the one thing you really can do and should do. And if it's not just, it's not to protect you, it's as much to protect the people around you. So I think it's a good thing to do. I mean, my mother said to me it was last year already. She's like, I'm going to the shop with a mask like the Japanese people wear. I'm like, why would you do that, Mom? She's like, people cough and they fart and they're disgusting. And I thought she made a good point then, and that was long before COVID. Don't you think there's something, to be said for that, right?
Fair enough.
Look, the world is gross as it stands.
It is gross.
But this weekend, I sort of accepted that I think I'm not being depressing. I'm not calling this upon myself. But I think I'm going to get the virus soon.
See, don't say that because I need you on the morning show and on the TV show. And if you get this thing, I'm going to have to fire you. I can't have COVID in our midst. I mean, what are we going to do? You know? Don't you agree, Mbulelo? No. That's definitely grounds for firing.
You have to take the rotten apple out of the bunch.
Yes, exactly. You Otherwise, you spread it.
Exactly.
You make it sound like you'll have to take me out to the pasture and shoot me dead.
Yes, that's what we... Isn't that what you do with COVID people?
No, it would be preferable.
The circle is getting smaller and smaller in my case. So put aside the fact that there are minimum of three positive cases at ENCA. You know, we go there, once or twice a week. We can deal with that. But my roommate has someone at her workplace who tested positive. She is like getting all paranoid. She went for a test on Saturday, but you need to wait for 72 hours. And it's been so funny as we are dealing with each other now in the house, going, okay, well, we want to play on the safe side. So literally she'll be in the kitchen and I'll stand by the door and talk to her from there. Or we'll be on opposite ends of the lounge up until she gets her results.
This is no way to live. This is not how human beings should live. It's horrible, right?
It's twisted and bizarre. Oh. And then I now know a person who I know from work circles who's also tested positive. Oh, and the bit of a silver lining is that everyone is just dealing with it. You know, these are people who are young and healthy and they're dealing with it. It's not, you know, they're on from their deathbed.
Well, that's it. And I, I think you've got to be smart about these things. I mean, if it's going to get you, it's going to get you. And what you've got to do is try to, obviously, make sure that you're as healthy as possible, get your immune system up and running, and make sure that it's in the best possible state. Try to avoid passing it on to other people. But really, I mean, we're at the stage now where it's a couple of months down. And I hate when people say, oh, but we've already got over 2,000 deaths. Those are COVID-related. That doesn't mean those people died from COVID, first of all. Second of all, that is a very small percentage of people to die from a disease that is all over the world, that is extremely virulent. It's more virulent than flu. And it seems to have about the same amount of you know, percentage of deaths. So I think we've still overreacted. We've plunged the country into chaos. You see Tito speaking last week. He's like, there's no money, guys. There's no money. And it's partly because all these businesses that you see closing down, and we all know people who've lost their jobs too, just like we know people who've got COVID. We probably know more people who've lost their jobs than people who've got COVID.
Yeah, and I still maintain one of the annoying things for me is the fact that we aren't focusing or talking about the recoveries.
Yeah, well, that's the point, is that most people are alive and fine. The number of deaths are very, very small compared to everything else.
Yeah, I will have to admit, though, I went right into this hole of finding out about how exactly the virus feels and, oh, what part of the throat it affects and what it does to the lungs. And can you at least, like, feel something changing in your lungs? Like, could I put my hands on my chest and feel it differently?
Well, I'm sure everybody's also thought, oh, my God, I've got it, even if they haven't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for a lot of people, it's like at least a weekly thought.
Oh.
Sia, is your living situation like a Will and Grace situation? I've always imagined it was something like that. Side note.
It is, isn't it?
Well,
it's Will and Grace.
I've never thought of it like that. But, yeah, we've been friends for a while.
Sure.
And we give each other great relationship advice. So... Yes, well, actually, Grace, are Will and Grace situation.
That's great. All right. That's amazing. All right, well, what kind of face mask do you have?
Yeah, I still just have that basic standard material one.
Made of fabric, right?
Yeah, I've stopped using those disposable ones just because, well, this is economic.
Yeah, it's so... Some of them are terrible. They don't fit well. Shame. Someone made me one and it was just a disaster. Like it didn't.
Ooh.
Yeah, it felt like it should be worn by someone whose jaw's fallen off. It was not a good mask. But there are some that are definitely better than others. Mbulelo, you wear your buff, right?
I've got my buff.
Yeah.
And I've got a material one.
Yeah,
because you're a material boy in a material world.
Have you walked into the shops and then forgotten your mask and then had to go back to the car and get it?
Have you ever left the house
yes.
and gone to the shops? Uh-huh. And as you get to the shops, you remember.
Uh-huh. I don't have my mask, so now you have to go all the way back. Because they won't let you in. I mean, the funny thing was, like, during level 5, when we were supposedly at the greatest level of alert, then you could just go into the shop without a mask on. Remember that?
I do remember that.
So who are we, who are we trying to kid here?
Come on, what are we doing here?
It's just ridiculous. It's all over the place.
Oh, good news, Leanne Moll is alive.
Oh, good. Is she on the call yet? Let's see.
Yes, she will be jumping on.
Okay. Wonder what she's got to tell us about her weekend. Like that could have been a whole lot of fun.
That's it.
She just started by saying, oh, dear.
Yeah. Please tell me the story, because I don't know how we missed this. But the detective who cracked the Funborough Dar and the Rhoda cases.
Oh!
Apparently,
yes.
Yeah, this guy ended up killing a colleague at a braai.
Whoa!
Yeah.
This happened late last year. And I just don't know how we happened to... It didn't come onto our radar. Mm-hmm. But this guy, his name is Marlon Apollis, Sergeant Marlon Apollis. He most recently worked for the anti-gang unit. So he is a through-and-through, SAPS member, fighting crime and doing well.
Right.
And he was one of the critical members in the Henry Funborough Dar case. His investigation really pushed the case forward. So you think, incredible man.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the Jason Rhoda case as well, he was really investigating, looked at things in different ways. So he was one of the people who pushed for the judge's sentencing in the case. So once again, you think, incredible man.
Right.
Well, lo and behold, last year, he was invited to a colleague's house, Sergeant David Hoffman. And the Hoffman family was there as well at a braai. And somehow he ended up shooting his colleague, the Sergeant Jesus. David Hoffman. And the guy is now dead.
My God.
The case went to court. As of my investigation, I could only find updates from February and March this year.
Yeah.
And as of February and March this year, Marlon Apollis stands by defending himself, saying, no, there was actually an intruder who came onto the property.
Oy.
And I happened to have my gun on me. I was trying to protect everyone. But as I was trying to protect everyone, I accidentally shot my colleague.
Wow. What a story. How did this go unnoticed? Really?
And I'd like to believe what he says with his defense.
Yeah.
But I also, there's a part of me that wants to rather think that he worked on all of these high profile murder cases. He got way too invested in them.
Yeah.
They started messing with his mind way too much. And then he thought, yeah, everyone must die.
I hope he actually was the guy who got the intruder to come and kill his colleague, but then he ended up killing his colleague by mistake.
Oh my God, that's horrible. That's a conspiracy theory right there. Hey, Leanne.
And she's muted. Leanne, you're muted.
You're a disaster this morning. What happened to you?
Well, because you're not allowed sleepovers, I thought I'd oversleep.
You know what? That was worth it. That line. It was worth it.
Okay.
That's good. That's good. How was your weekend?
It was pretty COVID-y. Nothing much happened, except I went to my brother's house for roasted lamb.
Oh, wow.
And a photo shoot of products that I'm supporting at the moment. So that was nice.
Did the products look good for the photo shoot? Did they have enough sleep the night before?
They did not oversleep.
Okay.
The products.
They showed good up good and ready.
Yeah, good models, those products.
Yes.
Oh, man. We were just talking about the story that Sia found in the news about this policeman who killed his colleague. And it was a big story at the time, and we didn't, somehow it just slipped through the cracks. Like, it didn't even make it into, like, the main news of the week. It's just insane. Yeah. It's this insane story.
Yeah, look, if you look at what was detailed about the sergeant's appearance in court, supposedly he cried a lot. He looked remorseful. His wife also looked very remorseful. His wife, who didn't speak on the witness stand, but rather just was speaking to members of the media, was almost giving like a character justification of him, saying, yeah, this is something he would never do. Look at his track record, the fact that he's fought crime for so many years. This is just a no-go for him, and it is a mistake. So,
terrible.
Yeah. I was watching Queer Eye, and way before the hashtag Black Lives Matter movement really became big,
They
filmed an episode. Sia, I don't know if you saw it, but they used...
Why, just because I'm gay, I would know about Queer Eye?
No, because you and I have had private messages to each other talking about Queer Eye.
I'm joking, go on.
Wow. You got like you became such a sensitive gay. There's another stereotype.
It's been a trend. It's been a trend this morning.
For sure.
And it actually featured on one of the talk shows. So the way the show starts is that the five guys are in the car and one is driving and they're on their way to their next happy victim.
Right.
And this time Karamo was driving. Who is we can't say the only brown skinned man, because Tan always gets upset and he's like, I'm also brown skinned.
Okay, well, I'm black, I can say he's the black guy.
He's the black guy. He's driving, and he actually wasn't meant to be that day for some reason. But anyway, got pulled over while they were filming, and you could actually see, oh God, it was horrible. You could actually see the dread in his face.
Yeah.
Oh, it was quite gut-wrenching. And I think it was a complete surprise, but they kept it in on purpose. And it was a cop who said, where's your license? And he said, I actually don't have it with me.
Uh-oh.
Oh. But besides any of the non-compliance stuff, like him not having his license on him, just the pure fact that he was so scared.
He was afraid because black guy in the car and cops. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then the white cop told them to all get out the car, and everyone else stood up for him and said, "Why do we need to? What's the reason?" And he said, "I don't care what you say. Just get out."
Oh, wow.
Turned out that he was the nominator of his cop friend.
Oh, so he was going to have the Queer Eye.
The makeover.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So then it was all like fun and games. And then behind the scenes, you see them on a talk show, and Karamo said he actually wasn't supposed to be driving that day.
Yeah.
It was meant to be someone else. But they talk then, and they say that they decided to keep it in for that very reason, to give the real vibes of what it's like to be a black guy being pulled over. And it was all before hashtag Black Lives Matter, except hashtag Black Lives Matter existed still at that stage, because they address it there and then. And Karamo, the black Queer Eye guy, and the white cop share such an amazing moment in the car talking about why it's so scary being a black guy and why they're so scared of cops.
Oy.
And the two of them end up bawling their eyes out and just reaching a new understanding.
Well,
Flip, I love that program.
Well, I don't know who these people are you talking about, because I've never watched the show, but I did read something yesterday, and it was supposed to have been posted by Serena Williams, but not the tennis star Serena Williams, some other person called Serena Williams.
Oh, yeah?
So everybody's been passing it around as if it was the tennis star. But I love this, so I'm going to read it too quickly. I'm sick of COVID-19. I'm sick of black versus white. I'm sick of Democrats versus Republicans. I'm sick of gay versus straight. I'm sick of Christians versus atheists. I'm really sick of the media. I'm sick of no one being allowed to think what they want and feel what they do without offending someone. I'm sick of the nosy-ass people who call the cops when anyone does anything they don't approve of. I'm sick of blaming the whole for sins of the few. We're one race, the human race. You want to support President Trump? You do you. That's your choice. You want to support Biden? Fine. Also your choice. You want to believe in God? Okay, believe in God. You want to believe in magical creatures that fly around and sprinkle fairy dust to make life better? Awesome, you do you. But stop thrusting your beliefs on others and not being able to deal with the fact that they don't have the exact same mindset as you. Having our own minds is what makes us all individual and beautiful. If you can't handle the fact, if you can't handle the fact that you may have a friend who has opposing views, then you are not any better than the bigots and the racists. I don't have to agree with everything you believe to be a decent human being or to be your friend. Isn't that beautiful?
No.
Huh?
Well, it wasn't Serena Williams, the tennis player.
No, so. It's still great.
Yeah, Mbulelo, it's as if like you're taking away from the point. No, it's a good point.
See, I wanted to fight with Mbulelo today.
Okay, I'll keep quiet.
You do want to fight with him, right?
No, I don't. Gareth, it's a good point. I like that other Serena who wrote that.
Yeah, so I'm thinking this Serena should be famous too.
Love it.
Love it.
I love it.
That's great. Yeah, it is. It's just so cool. I mean,
my echo, by the way.
No, it's better. You're better now. There was quite a lot of echo earlier. You were very echoey. Now you're much better. Okay. So what's this week got in store for us? Anybody know?
July.
Yeah, July's coming. So what are you expecting? Come on, give me your worst case scenario for July.
Well, we've had cocaine pigs.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Set the bar so high.
Coke bores.
Wow, coke bores.
Well, my family is about to get into a week-long, an almost week-long stretch of consecutive birthdays.
Oh, right. Is your July babies, you and your family?
Yeah, it starts off with my...
here we go.
Yeah, a cousin of mine on the 9th, my mother on the 10th, my sister on the 11th, my niece on the 12th, my nephew on the 13th.
Wow. Aren't you glad you now that COVID's here, you don't have to go to any of these parties and you don't have to buy presents?
Oh, no. It does not work like that with my mother. She now says you can deliver things to the house, Ned Florist is great, and she's still... I think she's one of the only people who is still on Zoom and house party. Remember?
House party. Oh, my God. That was a waste of time, right?
I never did it.
You didn't go on house party?
Never. No.
I think she now thinks she has, like, her own cooking show.
Uh-oh.
Because she'll just, like, call us on house party.
You have to watch her cook?
And she'll just... keep it in the kitchen and she'll just stand there and she'll prance around.
No, you see, that's I have a major problem with TV chefs. I think they have ruined humanity.
Oh my.
Well, they now everybody thinks they are Gordon Ramsay or
completely
Jamie Oliver whenever they get on their goddamn kitchen counter and they start making something and they expect everyone else to watch them.
It's more useful than idols.
Yeah,
because the food thing actually has value to society at large. The singers, I don't care about the next pop star we're going to recycle out in a year.
You especially don't. Other people do.
Yeah.
But I'm saying everyone cares about food. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
So it's more useful to be a TV chef than to be a singer, to me.
I agree with you. I mean, I think that I'd rather have more good cooks in the world than more good singers. We don't need more singers.
Just... Gareth, you personally have ruined every single singing show that I like watching.
Oh, thanks.
Why? How?
Every cooking show that I like watching.
I've ruined them.
Yes. So for the singing shows, you said, Well, and it actually stemmed from when that viral clip was going around of a woman that was caught in the subway singing.
Remember, that was the beginning of the downward slope of 2020. We were having a good year up until
Thank you, Sia, for recognizing this time.
All right, go on. You. What happened?
And Gareth said, I'm tired of all this shit. Everyone can sing. There are so many people that can sing. Okay, so he ruined the romanticism completely for me.
Yes.
Then with cooking, just the fact that Gareth has always said, if I could eat fucking avocado and tomatoes for every meal, then I would. And I don't understand fucking cooking at all. So now every show that I watch, I'm like, oh, am I wasting my life?
Yes.
You are.
And now
I'm not saying yes, you're wasting your life. Yes, I get what you mean.
I misunderstood.
So I actually got over it completely with this one show specifically. It's called Crazy Tasty.
Wow.
Where they've set up, it's a BBC program, which is always beautiful. They set up this amazing set of like a fairy garden of food where you go foraging. And they've got this enormously fat host, this woman who is gorgeous. She has a sequin top and a turquoise poofy dress and this bright red hair. And she's so fat and she eats all the food on the set. Like everything that, you know, because everything's edible in this whole thing. So she'll be drinking a glass of whatever. And when the glass is finished, she'll say, Don't you wish that your drink could continue beyond the drink? And then she'd start eating the glass because the glass is edible. Or she'll be watering the watering can, and then she turns the watering can up and the spout is a cookie and she starts eating that.
And she's the woman with the red hair?
Yes. And she's
Her name is Jade Adams.
All the way. She's a dull pre losing her weight. And I'm watching this, and then people come in and compete with their cooking. And I'm thinking how much Gareth would hate this. But this is what made me break through and go, stuff you, I'm going to enjoy this program.
All right. Well, you know, don't blame me for all your troubles. I've never enjoyed reality TV of any kind. I never watched it. I was on a reality TV show, a very successful one for a very long time, but I never watched the show. I didn't watch it before I was on it. I didn't watch it while I was on it. And I didn't watch it after I was on it. So.
And that's also fine.
Yeah, I suppose. All right, let's get some headlines in, all right? We've got things to do. I mean, we can't just sit here all morning talking nonsense, even though that's what we're here to do.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Oh, remember those days? Yes, we can.
Oh, those are the best, man.
Yeah, all right. And then Michelle caught him looking at the Danish president.
And then he couldn't.
Yeah.
That was funny. That was at the World Cup. That's a whole 10 years ago.
That's crazy.
All right, here it is. The Department of Public Enterprises has on Sunday announced its withdrawal from the forum tasked with coming up with a business restructuring model for SAA. Oi, yoi, yoi. This is just the most stupid thing.
Here we go again.
Yeah, the department said it withdrew from the leadership consultative forum as it is not serving its intended purpose. They put this together with labor unions as part of the business rescue process to fill the vacuum when the business rescue practitioners failed to meaningfully consult with SAA employees and their unions. You can't ask your employees what you should do if you want to rescue a business. I'm sorry, that's not how it works. You got to have people who are objective on the outside, who don't have a dog in the fight, to figure out the best way for the business to either carry on going or to be put away.
But what about the reality series called Undercover Boss?
Yeah, well, another stupid
show. Where they find out what everyone wants.
Yeah, well, and the reason that everybody wants that on the factory floor, and they don't get to own the factory and run the factory, is because they don't have any good ideas. Otherwise, they'd own or run the factory. Do you know what risk there is in starting a business? You know, I'm tired of people who are all for the employees in a business. And trust me, I've been an employee, so I know how this feels. But they don't understand the risk that goes into actually starting a business. and keeping it going.
Which is why I'd like to see who's on that panel. If it's just a bunch of politicians and unionists,
it is.
Why does it exist?
Well, that's exactly the point. So now, even the Department of what do they call them? Public Enterprises. They've withdrawn because it's not going anywhere. Nothing useful is coming out of this. You must know when the politicians pull out because the unions are being so destructive and disruptive, then you know it's finished. I mean, SAA has got to be folded up and put away. It's done. It's just unbelievable. So listen to this. Here are some of the reasons for withdrawing. On several occasions, some participants have willfully breached the conditions by leaking confidential information. Also by supporting SAA-Link's resolution to adjourn the creditors' meeting. They've contradicted the letter and spirit of the leadership compact. I mean, this is exactly the kind of stuff that you don't need people talking about. When you know how you rescue a business? You look at the balance sheet and you make your decisions based on the numbers.
Recon, baby.
Ugh, it's just unbelievable. So anyway, those morons are continuing their stupidity. Santaco, speaking of morons, have threatened another strike if any taxi is impounded, as their patience is wearing thin. How's that?
It's ridiculous.
They will carry passengers at full capacity and will also resume interprovincial travel without permits from Monday. They said they're over this rule. Good. This is actually the first time I've agreed with Santaco in their entire existence, as far as I can tell. He says operators have been compliant since the announcement of the lockdown, and their patience with government is worn thin. I mean, imagine you have to deal with that man boy, Balula. That's who they have to talk to. They have to talk to that. He looks like a gogo, but he's a man boy. And they have to deal with him.
Sure.
No, they have to sit and talk to him. It's ridiculous. I mean, if you're a taxi, again, if you own a taxi or you are a driver or you are a passenger, you don't need to sit and consult with politicians. You're trying to make ends meet. And I know that people in this country have no options because taxis are the only way for them to get to and from work. We know that because Jane wasn't able to make our meeting last Monday because there was a taxi strike in Alex. That's where she lives.
What about the people who are passengers but are actually doing all the accounting?
Well, that's true. That those people are probably integral to the business plan of a taxi.
There we go.
Right?
4-4.
Yeah.
Sign and move.
Right.
Sign. 4-4.
We have decided that the leadership of Santaco and provinces must inform their structures that as from tomorrow, all taxis must load 100% capacity. There we go, 4-4. Whether the minister approves or not, to you, Fikile Mbalula.
Push up.
Uh-huh. All long distance must resume operations as from tomorrow as well. No permits will be wanted from passengers entering long distance taxis. So good for them. They're pushing back against government because how long have we been in level three? Over a month?
Okay, so here's a little anecdotal story. One of my mom's carers, she has two.
Yeah.
Her husband is a taxi driver. And my mom's carer has been so careful about spreading COVID. She is fastidious. She wears a mask. She washes her hands all the time.
Right.
And the big thing for her, she could proudly say, my husband is sticking to the taxi rules where he's either not running his taxi service at all mm-hmm. or he's doing like social distancing and decontamination. And this changes things for her and it puts her reputation at risk.
Well, I'm going to say it again. The point of the lockdown was not to stop the transmission of the disease. The lockdown was there to make sure that we had the medical capacity to deal with however many cases came up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you cannot stop a disease by staying away from the rest of humanity for an eternity. It's not going to help. And if you're going to get this thing, you're going to get this thing. Masks may, 30, 40% of the time save you from having to breathe in these particles. You can probably stay at home for a little bit longer if you feel unsafe. But now it is on you. You have to be personally responsible. Government cannot make you healthy and they cannot make you sick. A virus doesn't care who's spreading it around either.
You know what I am pleased about is that we've probably inhaled less sharticles than
Yes, that's a good point. Now, there's a good point. Sharticles are a major problem, right?
They are. I watched a program once on where they couldn't find any situation where they couldn't see sharticles on a toothbrush.
Oh, yes.
Even if you used filtered water.
Yes.
Doesn't matter. Even if you put it in a different room.
Right. Basically, sharticles are everywhere.
They're on your toothbrush.
Uh-huh.
At least wear a mask in open, so you only get your own sharticles.
So gross. All right, well, let's get back to the headlines for a second.
Yeah, before we move on from the taxi story, we mustn't give our politicians a break. The only reason that this is being rolled out this quickly is they themselves are stakeholders.
Yeah.
We mustn't go,
say that word again.
They're stakeholders. So we mustn't go, oh, wow, look at these pious people looking to roll out the economy.
Yeah.
There's a reason why this sector in particular has been fast-tracked.
Do you remember what happened with this sector right at the beginning of lockdown? First of all, they said the government told them you can only have 50% capacity. Then there was a big furore, an uproar. Then they were allowed 70%, remember?
Yeah.
And now they've been complying with that. But guess what? When the taxi buses, who, as you rightly point out, are also politicians in the ANC, start to squeeze, the government responds. They're a big, powerful lobby group, those guys. All right. To go over to the US for a moment, a suspect has been arrested after a fatal shooting at a protest in Louisville over the killing of Breonna Taylor. The suspect, who was not identified, was hospitalized and being interviewed by investigators. One person died in the shooting on Saturday. The victim was a 27-year-old Tyler Girth, who is from Louisville. The mayor said the shooting was difficult to comprehend. Gunmen opened fire from the edge of the protest area at Jefferson Square Park at about 9 o'clock on Saturday, resulting in several people firing weapons and chaos. The gunman who initiated the incident was injured. CCTV protest footage showed a man at the edge of the square raise what appeared to be a handgun and fire repeatedly into a crowd following a confrontation. Jesus.
Oh, man.
Wow. So the crowd was there to protest the death of Breonna Taylor, okay? And then they ended up being fired on themselves.
It kind of reminds me of the tweet that Trump retweeted, which he's been shot down for.
Uh-huh.
Rightly.
Or do you want to use that word?
What was it?
Yeah, actually, I feel like using it right now.
Okay.
Where there was a Black Lives Matter protest, and there were white people in golf carts driving past, going "White Lives Matter" and a whole lot of profanity. And he actually retweeted that.
Right.
Until the only black senator had to say, "You actually need to take that down."
Oh, and he did?
Yes, he did. 3 hours after a whole eruption of people online. But he actually...
Is this the same white power video?
Yes. White power, where they were going, "White power." But they couldn't actually show much of the video on TV because of all of the profanity that was associated with it.
That is horrible.
And then the president retweets it.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Fucking doofus.
Yeah, he's making a lot of mistakes.
That man.
He's really, he, I've said it before.
COVID, take the wheel.
Well, if Donald Trump just shut up and didn't act crazy, he would walk this election. Walk it. And the same goes for Joe Biden. If he didn't act crazy and he just shut up, he'd walk it. Because it's up to the person who does the dumbest thing to lose it.
Yeah, but it's also, we're over people acting crazy or acting normal. We want real people.
Yeah, well, listen, you asked for real. You got Donald Trump. I mean, he's a reality TV star. He's the kind of person you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
All right. Russia have said a leak of nuclear material detected over Scandinavia did not come from one of its power plants. We've heard this story before. Nuclear safety watchdogs in Finland, Norway, and Sweden last week said they had found higher than usual amounts of radioactive isotopes in the atmosphere. A Dutch public health body said that after analyzing the data, it's believed the material came from the direction of Western Russia. It could indicate damage to a fuel element, because you know they can tell whatever isotope it is, where it comes from in a nuclear power plant, where it's made. And this is just, you know, Russia, they of course said no, that everything's normal, no leaks have been reported. But come on.
The Kremlin is busy with an election, Gareth. How could they keep an eye on that?
Exactly.
Mbulelo, what do you think? Do you think Russia's behind this leak?
I think it's important that democracy is respected and the Kremlin will reply when it's ready after an internal investigation.
Yeah. Okay. You frightened of Putin like everyone else. All right. Anyway, so that's the other news. And then one last story before we wrap up this hour. This one's about Microsoft. They said they will close their stores around the world, moving its retail operations online and keeping only 4 locations that will be transformed into experience centers. I've never understood why Microsoft had to have shops. They sell software. You can download it on the internet.
Well, it's the same as Apple and iStore. And
no, but Apple make hardware. Microsoft do not make hardware.
I agree.
Do they have phones and whatnot?
You don't get a Microsoft phone, do you?
I don't know. We'd have to ask Greg.
Yeah,
I know there are some Microsoft laptops, right?
Well, again,
we need an expert.
That's not what they're known for. I mean, they're a software company.
Okay, yeah, you do get the phones. Yes,
shows you how much we know.
Even then, they can deliver.
I can just see now. I can see. Yeah, of course, you can have a an online store. So they're going to shut those down. It means 100 Microsoft stores will be closed due to coronavirus, and they will not reopen as the tech giant enters a new approach to retail. So that's exciting. Did you see how much money Nike have lost over the weekend?
How much?
Oh, my God. Disaster. Look at this.
And what's behind that?
You go woke, you go broke. Nike is laying off staff after announcing a $790 million loss in the latest quarterly earnings. So obviously it's partly COVID. You know, it's partly the fact that maybe people just don't have as much money, which is happening all over the world. But it's also, you know, Nike, whose whole board is white, by the way, have so immersed themselves in any kind of virtue signaling that they could. Colin Kaepernick was the start of that. You know what I'm talking about, Mbulelo.
Yeah, but they've always done that. Even in the 90s, if you go and Google Nike, Charles Barkley ad, they've always been on the edge. Phil Knight has never apologized for engaging with those issues. So for Nike, it's not a new way of doing things. The Kaepernick, Serena, you know, they've been very consistent. They got Kyler Murray now. This is how they do it.
All right. Well, good for them. That's all we've got in the news for you this morning. But it is 7 o'clock, and we'll come back with more in a moment. You can get hold of us on 079-748-2090. Let us know what you're up to this morning. Leanne joined us at about 6:30. She had a little lion this morning.
That's when I rolled out of bed.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You should be allowed to. Have any of you, and we'll, you can answer this after 7, but have any of you had a really cheeky midday sleep, even though you were meant to be working during this time?
Okay, we'll wait until afterwards to answer.
I think I already know Leanne's answer.
In the week, huh? That's what I'm talking about. In the week.
Mm-hmm.
Like while you were meant to be working and you said to someone, yeah, I'll get back to you. I've just got a couple of meetings. Meanwhile, you were going to have a sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the truth. I want to hear all about that in the next hour. All right, we're gonna be back in a moment. CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.